Hello and welcome to Vista Talks, interesting discussions with interesting people from all around the world. I'm your host for today, Simon Hodgkins, and it's a pleasure and a delight to be joined by Ema Sherry. Ema is the Senior Executive of Public Policy, Regulatory Affairs within the Irish MedTech Association within IBEC. And it's a real pleasure to have you here with us today, Ema. You're very welcome to the show.
Thanks, Simon. Delighted to be with you today.
It's an absolute pleasure, Ema. We've got a lot of interesting things to unpack today. Now, for people listening or watching to this episode around the world, I just want to say that Ema is a very prominent figure within the Irish medical devices sector. You're known for your expertise and leadership within the industry. You've got a strong background, I know, in public policy and, of course, regulatory affairs. And Ema, for our audience, has played a pivotal role in helping to shape the growth and the success of this very important sector within Ireland. So as a global med tech leader, I know Ema has been instrumental in driving a lot of innovation. We're going to talk about some of that today, fostering collaboration and positioning Ireland as a hub for medical device manufacturing and also development. So look, with Ema's extensive experience and a deep understanding of the industry, it makes Ema a really valuable resource for these insights into the Irish medical devices sector. And in addition to her role, you've also been very actively involved in areas of IBEC, and maybe we can touch on a few of those too. So look, ultimately, we're working towards advancing the interests of the industry. We're advocating for favorable regulatory frameworks, which is also important. But Ema, as I said at the top, you're extremely welcome to the show. We're very interested in this topic. So let's get into the discussion. And I want to start, if I can, by providing our listeners with maybe a bit more context to the Irish medical devices sector and to the work that you do, because it is significant in a global context. So maybe could you unpack that a little bit? Let's start there, Ema.
Hello, Simon, and hello to all the listeners. I really want to talk to you about and tell you about the Irish medtech sector, because you know what, it really is a fantastic success story. You know, I'm delighted that I can say that the Irish medtech sector is now one of the top five global medtech hubs. You know, we're competing with the likes of Massachusetts, Minnesota, California, and the US, as well as Germany and Israel. And we really are a significant contributor to the Irish economy, you know, and I'll talk to some of the numbers now. You know, there's 450 companies in Ireland. You know, this involves, you know, both multinationals. We've all the well-known multinationals, you know, Boston Scientific, Medtronic, Stryker. And as well, we have all our own homegrown companies, you know, amazing companies like Arigen and Palair, you know, really punching above their weight and competing on the global stage. I suppose just in terms of the employment, like if you think in Ireland, there's 48,000 people employed in the Irish medtech sector. And, you know, if you think of a small country, that probably means everyone knows somebody working either directly or indirectly in the medtech sector. And I also love the fact that the medtech sector is, you know, every county in Ireland, there's a company, a medtech company. So if you think then, if I give you some more figures, Simon, if we talk about, you know, facts you mightn't know, you know, 80% of the world's stents are exported from Ireland, you know, so that means about 15,000 stents, you know, are shipped out of Galway every day. We've about 75,000 orthopedic knees exported every day. And if you did happen to wear contact lenses, there are probably a good chance they are also produced in Ireland. So about 40% of contact lenses are produced in Ireland. So overall, we're about, I suppose, 13 billion exports delivered from the medtech sector. And we're not just about manufacturing. As well as that, we have a huge research and development going on in Ireland. About 75% of FDI companies are continuing to invest in research and development across the value chain, as well as our amazing, vibrant startup community. And, you know, I think the latest figures in the European Innovation Scoreboard says we're sixth in as an innovation company. So really doing well on the innovation side. But, you know, it's not all about the numbers. You know, something I see every single day in my job. And it's I think what makes Ireland so special is that really supportive environment. You have serial entrepreneurs, you have vice presidents of multinationals, you have CEOs of SMEs, all coming together to work not just for the success of their own company, but really the success of the Irish medtech sector as a whole. And, you know, I really do feel absolutely privileged to get to work with such an amazing people in this sector and to deliver such really purposeful outputs. So that's just a flavour of the Irish medtech sector.
And what an impressive flavour it is, Eimear. Thanks for shedding some light into that, because for many people, they may be unaware of what a global powerhouse Ireland is when it comes to the Irish medical sector, you know, particularly Irish medtech. It really is, maybe that phrase, punching above its weight, maybe springs to mind, because we do, some of the numbers that you've shared there are truly staggering, and it really is a true hub of innovation, something else that you touched on. But let's talk a little bit about that Irish medical devices sector, because you've experienced significant growth over many years, and you know, becoming this global leader in the industry is such an important part of Ireland Inc, I suppose, and the wider story. But could you let our audience know some of maybe the key points from your viewpoint, from your vantage point? What do you attribute to this growth? Maybe a little bit about that area of the growth story.
Yeah, I think there are multiple reasons why Ireland, there's been so much growth. But I'm going to focus on three today that I really feel are instrumental. And the first one is really about the government support. You know, Ireland is, you know, does have a really stable political and economic environment. We have unwavering commitment to the EU as well. And really, you know, visionary government industrial policy. So if you think back even in the 1950s when IDA Ireland was set up, IDA Ireland is a funding agency to go out there and attract investment into Ireland. And by have they delivered for Ireland, you know, not only in the medtech sector, you know, we have 9 out of 10 top tech companies in Ireland, based in Ireland. We've 9 out of 10 biopharma, not to mention finance and all various industries they've brought to Ireland. So that's a government funded agency. We also have another Enterprise Ireland, you know, really helping the indigenous and domestic companies. So the startups, you know, funding startups and helping them through the journey so that they can then compete on a global stage. We also have initiatives, you know, again, funded by the government, like SkillNet Ireland, really critical agencies where, for example, where we identify their skill gaps, we can go to the government to get funding to develop those training programs to meet those skill gaps. As well, there's Science Foundation Ireland, you know, which is there funding research, both basic and applied, and funding amazing research centres throughout Ireland. You know, like if you take only in the paper this week, I saw where Tyndall, a research centre funded by SFI, now in partnership with Boston Scientific, and other doctors to create a new treatment, a sensor for cancer treatment, you know, fantastic stuff, all funded by the government. And also, you know, in terms of our startup community, we have training like in BioInnovate Ireland, you know, which are giving rise to so many startups. You know, we see the success of Luma Vision there, you know, really, which came out of this type of government funded training. So really, this positive support from the government really helps. The second thing I would talk to is our education system. You know, really the education system in Ireland is second to none. We have world-class PhDs and masters. You know, I think to throw in a few more figures, you know, I think we've the highest level of STEM graduates in Europe. Between 25 and 29, we've the highest, one of the highest levels of third level attainment. And we also have alternative pathways, like lots of work in terms of developing apprenticeships to help people as well, and another pathway into the sector. And I see this in every sector, not just in the medtech sector, that really strong correlation between enterprise success and our education system. But the third, and I think I really think this is the key differentiator in Ireland, is our ability to collaborate. You know, we really have this can-do attitude. We want to work together. We want to find a way to find solutions. And only last week, the IBEC president, Paul Duffy in Pfizer, called it our superpower. You know, this ability to connect, that you could drop us anywhere on the planet and we'd probably find a way to connect with someone to build those relationships, to build those partnerships that will really deliver success. And so I suppose you could say, I would, you know, there's lots of ingredients to the success in Ireland, but I'd really, in summary, say those strong policies from government, those, you know, people that have such amazing skills, and those partnerships are really contributing to that growth and the growth of the medtech sector.
Wow, that's incredible, Ema. And those ingredients, if you were putting together a cookbook or a recipe for success, this would be an international bestseller overnight, which it is. And I
yes,
suppose,
yeah.
You know, I love the superpower quote. I think that collaboration, the sort of we can do this, let's work together approach that you are mentioning there. And of course, with the Irish MedTech Association within IBEC, that alignment with government as well. Because people have lots of views on governments around the world. But when you mention things like the IDA and yeah. Enterprise Ireland and the absolutely astounding work that those associations do, or SFA, you know, Science Foundation Ireland, there's so many fantastic bodies, associations and group doing really aligned work where it sort of all comes together in almost a flywheel effect, I suppose, does it?
Yes, yeah, it's just joined up thinking. Everyone on the same page, working together to deliver and drive Ireland's success, really is.
Well, listen, thank you so much indeed for really highlighting those key points, because there was everything in there from government to the associations, to the bodies, to the, you know, the regulatory framework, to the education sector. And that, you know, I think that that quote at the end really pulls it all together, you know, that collaboration, that superpower. I really like that a lot. So thank you for sharing that, Ema. And it brings me nicely onto something else that I wanted to ask you. And I know that there's probably some very interesting points you can share with our worldwide audience here, because I want to ask you about the current trends and the innovation, because you've mentioned innovation earlier. So when it comes to the current trends and the innovation in the medical devices industry, could you maybe share some of your insights into this area?
Yeah, so, you know, when you talk of current trends, there, you know, there's multiple things I could talk about. You know, there's the global tax reform, maybe we won't mention that. There's the regulatory divergence between, you know, our nearest neighbour and ourselves now because of Brexit. You know, and there's lots of things around aging demographics, supply chain issues. But I think there's two critical that I think, you know, every industry is really grappling with right now, and that is sustainability, how we can achieve our sustainable targets, and also digitalization. So if I look at sustainability first, you know, I think, you know, for every industry, this is a moral imperative, but it's also a business imperative to really embrace sustainability. And we see that there's the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive coming down, making it mandatory for companies to really show how their operations impact on the environment. Now, if we look specifically at the healthcare and the medtech industry, you know, I think researchers say that, you know, 4% of greenhouse gas emissions are coming from the healthcare sector. And I think as well, there is another figure I'm not so happy about, but it says that the industry, if it was a country, would be the fifth largest emitter. So I suppose there is no choice here. This is not optional. Industry is doing everything it can to try and become more sustainable. And, you know, that involves root and branch review of every aspect of their operations. And I, you know, I can tell you now, all our companies are doing this, you know, whether it's looking at what are the single use plastics, you know, we can change, what, you know, what in our processes, in our manufacturing processes, can we change? You know, there's a lot of change here. There's a lot of investment going to be needed. But look, it has to be done. You know, it's too important. And, you know, if I even point to, you know, one of our companies, Stryker, you know, all of their energy, talk about innovation, all of their energy now is coming 100% from renewable sources, and all of their lighting is from LED. So it's the equivalent of taking, I think, about 4,000 cars off the road. And this is the type of innovative approach we're seeing right across the industry. I know Boston and we are doing work as well about using wind turbines. We've a lot of wind in Ireland, thankfully. So, you know, we've a lot of renewable energy sources. So we're making that stride forward. But, you know, we in IBEC know that even with the best will in the world, this is not easy. You know, it is hard to change everything, change all the culture. And that's why only this year we launched a climate action toolkit to really help industry and companies. And I definitely recommend take a look at it, you know, how companies can navigate the transition to being more sustainable. So definitely it's something that we're all working on, looking for innovative solutions so that we can meet our sustainability goals. The second area, and again, you know, it's a huge area, is digitalization. I mean, it's touching everybody in every sector. And soon we won't even be saying digitalization, because it'll be like electricity, it'll just be a given, you know. But if you take the medtech sector in, you know, in particular, there's two elements I probably would talk to. And the first is the manufacturing side of things, and the second is the provision of healthcare itself. So if you look at manufacturing, you know, manufacturing in Ireland, is there's a huge manufacturing base, not just in medtech, across food and pharma, and all of the companies are, you know, trying to embrace advanced manufacturing, because, you know, in order for Ireland to stay competitive, it's a no-brainer. We have to do it. And, you know, again, going back to what I said about a really supportive government policy, there is even a unit dedicated to future manufacturing in Ireland, led by Toby Sainsbury. And we also have a number of those research centres, just as I described Tyndall. We have other research centres like Confirm and Amber and Irish Manufacturing Research Centre, all looking at how companies can embrace digitalisation and really take advantage of the benefits it brings with them. So again, lots of innovation happening in that space. So then if I come to, I suppose, digital health, this, you know, we are so excited about digital health in the Irish MedTech Association. You know, it's going to impact everything in terms of how we diagnose, how we treat, you know, any kind of you know, treatment or healthcare. You know, digital health is going to be core to it. And, you know, I think digital health is going to affect people, I suppose, in three ways. You know, it's going to empower people. So people now are going to have all their own data about their own healthcare. So, you know, you probably have your fitness app on your phone there or on your watch, and you know how many steps you've done, whether you've done your 10,000 steps. And, you know, we're really about understanding our own health. So this means that we'll have a lot more personalized and preventative healthcare in place. The second thing, healthcare, you know, when we think of healthcare and digital health, I think about the doctors and all the data that they can have in front of them. You know, if they're trying to make a diagnosis, they can pull up loads of information about similar cases and really support that diagnosis that they make. You know, life-saving decisions being made through the help of data. And the third thing is how digital health will help with improving healthcare systems, you know. And I think COVID probably accelerated this a little bit, you know. People, you know, taking people from those waiting rooms to having those online consultations is no longer odd, is considered that's okay. You know, we got used to it during COVID. So I suppose it really as well is about how we unleash the potential of this data. And I know that the European Health, the European Commission is putting forward a regulation, the European Health Data Space, so that we can be sure that our data is safe, you know, we can trust it and secure, and also respecting our privacy. And we are very excited about digital health in Ireland. You know, we think, you know, Ireland is really well placed because of the fact we have all our technology companies, our pharma companies and our medtech companies all in the one place, that we can really I suppose, realise the potential of digital health. And that's why we have in IBEC launched Where Digital Health Thrives campaign to really highlight the potential of digital health. We've over 200 companies already identified in the digital health space. But, you know, at the heart of all technology are people. And that is why it's so important that the people are skilled appropriately, that they have the right competencies. And, you know, only this May, we launched a Where Digital Thrives Future Skills Needs Report, first in its kind roadmap, which really identified what are those skills, what are those competencies that are necessary for professionals to really embrace the digital health area. And only last week, we launched a digital health innovation program, really helping professionals be trained in needs-led innovation training. So as said, we are so passionate about the opportunity that digital health is bringing here in Ireland, and we really want to help our companies take advantage of that.
I really like that, Eam, and thank you for really taking us through that, because it's so important. Because the innovation that's happening there, whether it's the current trends or some of the future plans that you have, it really is rapidly accelerating, at least that from my vantage point. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it is a really exciting time, I think. You talked about sustainability, right, which we know is a critical, it's on the boardroom agenda for most organizations, but particularly in the med tech area of work, it's fundamental from a sustainability. And you sort of talked about that, didn't you, with, you know, advanced manufacturing processes as well.
Yeah.
And how companies are striving in that area. Mm-hmm. And of course, this exciting world of digital health is unfolding before our very eyes. And you and your colleagues and the associations that you mentioned are working really hard in this digital health sector. And of course, data, I suppose, will unlock a lot of that value if, you know, managed correctly with the right processes and security and procedures, of course. But I think what I really liked about what you said is you bring it right back to there at the end. You were saying ultimately it comes down to people and skills. And I think it's really encouraging, just as an outsider looking in, to see the talent that we have already and the skill sets that we have, and you're also launching new initiatives to continue to embrace the skills and the technologies that we need, and to encourage people to really get involved in this, what is becoming a global digital health story, I suppose, if I could maybe phrase it that way. So thank you so much, Eamonn, for sharing that with us. Such really important points. And I know our international audience watching or listening to this are very involved in some of those areas, so thank you. And I suppose we shouldn't really leave the topic of regulatory frameworks either. We maybe should just touch on that for a minute. How do you see medical device regulation maybe evolving in the future? Because, you know, typically, whether it's life sciences, healthcare, or medtech, it is quite heavily regulated for obvious reasons. How do you see the framework evolving in the future? What changes would you like to see? What's your view on that, Eamonn?
Yeah, I think, you know, before we can even talk to what we'd like to see in the future, I think we really have to understand where we are now in the current regulatory system in Europe. And I suppose just for people who don't know, who mightn't be aware, you know, to get into the healthcare system, manufacturers have to demonstrate that their products have met EU-wide safety and performance requirements. And if they do, then they're awarded a CE mark, you know. And in Europe, the medtech sector is governed by two regulations, the medical device regulation and the in vitro diagnostics regulation. And both of these are fairly new regulations. They only, came into place in about 6 years ago, with some transitional time allowed as well. And I suppose they represent the biggest change in over 20 years. So you can imagine that's, you know, meant a lot of change, a lot of work for the industry, but industry really supports the goals of these regulations. And I think it's really important to say that we want our products to be safe, and we have invested really heavily to be able to comply with these regulations. However, I suppose what we are learning from our members and what we're seeing is that there are a number of challenges with trying to comply with these regulations. And I suppose we'd summarise the challenges is that, you know, it's slow, it's unpredictable, and it's also very costly. So I think even a 75% increase for SMEs. And it really is, you know, a complex system for people to try and grapple with. But I suppose why it's important to understand these challenges, the challenges are having a huge impact on the companies. And what we've found from our research is that, in fact, these challenges have meant that 50% of companies are putting innovation projects on hold, that 50% of companies are no longer choosing Europe as the first place to launch products, and 25% are going to not continue to have some of the products that are currently on the market anymore. And so, Simon, what that means in practice, and it's very important, is that for many of patients in Europe, they may not have access to the latest technologies. They may not have access to the, you know, even what's currently on the market in Europe. And, you know, nobody here wants to be a person that tells a mother or a father that their child can't have access to the latest technology, the latest life-saving treatment for their child because of well-intentioned regulations that did not work in practice. And, you know, with that in mind, that is why we in Irish MedTech Association, together with MedTech Europe, are really, you know, pushing for a comprehensive structural reform of the medical device regulatory framework. And this is so important. You know, what we're looking for here is to improve the inefficiencies. We want to see a much more predictable pathway to launch products. We want to see a much more priority given to innovative products, and also look at the governance. So what we're talking about here is probably a radical change in a way, is that we have a single entity overseeing the regulatory system. And we're looking for that because we want accountability, you know, someone that you can go to and say there's problems here we need to see addressed, and have agility that they can make system changes very quickly. And that's why we have written to the Commissioner, Stella Kyriakides, and I also, you know, talking to the Irish government on this, because we want to see the same levels of leadership taken by Ireland only last year in terms of pushing forward for this type of comprehensive structural change for the future. And, you know, Simon, I think everyone is on the same page. You know, we want to make the regulations work. So it's about getting everyone together to figure out how they can work. And we really welcome the EU Commission's study on innovation and governance. And we will be talking to the EU Commission, really setting out how we would like to see the future regulatory framework evolve. And look, the reason is, as I said, you know, this is so important because this is about European patients making sure they have access to the very best of health treatments and health devices.
Yeah, and really important points, Ema, extremely important points that you've raised there. And I do speak to people that are engaged in this process, and it's so important. It can also be frustrating at times, but ultimately it does take that coming together of the various parties that are required here to help move us forward in that safe, secure, but also innovative framework that we need. So I know you're doing some great work there to help us progress maybe some of these more challenging areas that are complex.
Yeah.
And on that note, I suppose one of the things I wanted to ask you is about the current and potential future role of IBEC and the Irish MedTech Association. because in supporting and promoting, I suppose, continued growth of the medical devices sector, what's your view on that?
Well, I just a little bit of background, maybe people, if you don't know, IBEC is, I suppose, the largest representative and lobbying trade body within Ireland, and also the third largest lobbying body in Europe. And I suppose we represent about 70% of the private workforce in Ireland. And IBEC, you know, it's a very unique body. We cover, I suppose, general business issues, we cover employment law issues, and then we cover specific industry issues through 39 different trade associations, which, you know, Irish Medtech Association would be one of them. So within IBEC umbrella, we have, you know, every single business issue you can imagine, there's an expert working on it. And I suppose what we offer companies is that direct access to key decision makers, you know, government agencies, government department officials, ministers, and all key stakeholders. So really influencing on behalf of our members for business success is probably our key role. And if we look at the Irish Medtech Association itself, you know, what we do is about providing leadership to the industry, you know, so that, you know, often bringing people together, facilitating that collaboration so that they work behind common goals to really deliver success for the wider ecosystem. And, you know, if it's manufacturing or sustainability or regulation, whatever the topic, we have working groups, we have experts working on it for the members to really push forward what our key recommendations in each of those areas are. And if I think of my own area, and I work, you know, specifically on regulation and all that good stuff, the fun stuff, I suppose you could describe, I suppose what would members say would be the real value add? You know, I think last year, you know, many of the members really saw that important role that advocacy can play, where we led, you know, a really huge advocacy campaign, you know, together with MedTech Europe and other stakeholders to really prevent a shortage, a potential shortage of medical devices if there wasn't a change to the timelines of the medical device regulation. And I think for many companies, you know, they really saw the value of how we could really influence and bring about positive change through our work. And I think as well, many companies say to me, you know, it's great that I have you to represent me with the regulator, that I can bring some of their concerns, what's happening on the ground, to the regulator on their behalf. And then for others, you know, I could talk about, you know, that sharing of best practice and learning from each other. But also, I think people often like the fact that they feel part of a community, that we create that community of like-minded professionals all working in the industry and helping each other, you know, deal with whatever complexity, be it the regulation, be it sustainability, whatever it is, that there is a home for you and through IBEC to work together with other like-minded professionals. So that's just a few things. I could talk for hours on IBEC.
I love that, Ema, and continued success there. So look, as we come towards the end of our discussion today, is there anything else you'd like to maybe share or highlight with our worldwide audience? Or maybe anything, it might be something that we've touched on already that you want to expand on, or any new points you'd like to share?
I suppose I'm just going to, you know, I think, you know, I feel so optimistic and really, you know, confident about the Irish medtech sector. And only last May, you know, we held a conference meeting of minds dedicated to digital health. And the IBEC CEO, Danny McCoy, you know, he really pointed out that the world really is in good health. Like, medtech is making people's lives better and longer. And, you know, it's great to feel that Ireland is playing a key role in that. I feel the future is so bright. You know, even this year alone, there's been so many investment announcements. You know, if you take Dexcom in Attenry in Galway, or you have BD in Dublin with research, or Boston in Tipperary, all creating new jobs. You know, there's so many opportunities for manufacturing, for research, for you know, talent development here as well. You know, I can't stress how much, you know, it's, you know, Ireland is such a great place to work in, to live in, and to invest in. So I definitely would encourage any of your listeners, if you haven't visited Ireland, definitely come visit us. And you know I touched on lots of topics today, but if you want to talk more about them, do look at our website or social media, or just give me a call. I'd be delighted to talk to you more about it, Sean.
Well, that's a lovely optimistic note for us to end on today, Eimear. Continued success in everything that you're doing at the Irish MedTech Association, within IBEC, and with all the associations and groups and bodies that you are striving to basically improve and innovate and make this whole thing better for everybody, not just in Ireland, but across the whole world. So continued success. It brings us nicely to the end of today's show with Eimear Sherry. Please make sure to tune in again to watch or listen to another episode of Vista Talks, where we'll be discussing more interesting topics like the ones we've been touching on today with interesting people from all around the world. So thank you, Eimear. It's been a real pleasure and a privilege. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks.